Today's scripture reading is from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a boy,' for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, several years ago, I was a chaplain resident up at St. Joe at the hospital there at Mosaic. Clinical pastoral education, CPE, is a required training if you are wanting to go into a hospital chaplaincy. But a lot of pastors take one or two units of this to gain skills about caring, and it really lasts our whole career. CPE is part classroom, part practice. And the idea is that you provide pastoral care by responding to hospital emergencies, and then you get feedback from your peers and your supervisor and how you handled it. Well, it's a very intense, this one was a year-long program, and you learn to provide quality pastoral care to a wide range of people in a lot of different situations. But often a pastor learns a lot about their own call to ministry in the process. During this 9-month CPE unit, we were required to cover 2 overnight duties a month. And so we would get to the hospital at 4 p.m., and then we would start our shift, which would last until 8 a.m. the next morning. After getting an update, you'd get there, you'd get your update about the day's events from the staff chaplain, and then we would get to work, you know, checking off any ordinary tasks that needed to be done, things like routine visits or if somebody wanted prayer or all of that. And then we were handed the chaplain's cell phone, which would be our adversary for the next 16 hours. During these long overnight shifts, you never knew when the phone would ring and just what kind of situation would be beckoning on the other side of the line. The phone would ring when big things were happening, like when a trauma would enter the ER, or when somebody coded on the unit, or any time somebody would pass away. And it also rang for things that were less major, like when a person wanted information about a power of attorney, or just when somebody needed prayer. Some nights, if you were lucky, the phone never rang. You finished your routine task at 9 p.m., and then you would go to the chaplain room, and there you would listen, really kind of a sleepless night, for the phone to ring, and it never would. And other nights, the phone would ring 3 or 4 times in a marathon of emergencies. 8 a.m. could not come fast enough. When no matter what was going on at the time, you got to pass the phone off to the next chaplain, and you got to go home. It was a unique experience where, being a pastor, things are always sort of ongoing, but as a chaplain, it's very intense for a while, and then you hang it up, and then you go home. I cannot think of any other time when I watched and listened for a call so attentively. I mean, even when things were not going on, when it was so quiet, it was eerie, and you never really got to sleep that night because you were always thinking, could the phone be ringing? What's going to be going on next? Or I don't want to miss something in case it happens. Well, any time that you've ever waited for a call, I mean, these times can be joyful or they can be dreadful given the situation that you're in as you wait and hope for whatever it is on the other side of the line. Those 16-hour chaplain shifts years ago helped me get a sense of what it's like to be called, but not on the phone, but by God to a life of discipleship. And so I want to dig a little bit deeper today using Jeremiah's call story about what it means to be called. Called of God, and it's something that doesn't happen just to pastors or missionaries or religious folk, but to all Christians as we live out our calling of discipleship. Well, our reading today takes us to Jeremiah, a prophet of Israel who ministered 6 centuries before Jesus lived. Unlike other prophets, though, we have the luxury of knowing what was going on a little bit in Jeremiah's life. We know that he was young. Scholars think that he was somewhere around 20 years old when he was called. And the first verses of our chapter help us to know of what was going on historically. The introduction to the prophet's career, it says that it spanned the last days of Judah before Jerusalem was captured and the people were exiled to Babylon. This was a very difficult time in the life of God's people. It was very uncertain and trying. And Jeremiah spent much of his career prophesying that all of this would happen if God's people did not change their ways and repent. That was his message. Well, eventually, the events that Jeremiah prophesied about came true. And this neighboring superpower called Babylon, the place with the hanging gardens, they came in and conquered Jerusalem in 587 BC and took Israelites into captivity. It was chaos. It was stress. People were separated from each other. It was the worst thing that they had ever imagined would ever happen, and it did, and it was the worst thing ever in their life. During this time of great uncertainty and upheaval for believers, Jeremiah held true to his calling to preach both judgment and deliverance to God's people. It was not easy for him. He questioned his call from the very beginning. And at the beginning of our passage today, we're told that the word of God came to Jeremiah, that God knew him before he was born, that God knew him in his mother's womb. This is true for all of us. God knows us and loves each one of us intimately. Each one of us has sacred worth. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, to quote Psalm 139. God knows us more than we know ourselves. God tells Jeremiah that before he was born, he was consecrated. He was appointed to be a prophet to the nations. And what an awesome task. Jeremiah was going to have the burden of caring for God's people, to calling them to change their ways and to care for them when they were exiled. It was a double-edged sword. He would tell them to shape up and change their ways, and he would also care for them when they were exiled. He knew that this would not be an easy task. He would be shunned. The burden would be great. He felt very inadequate for his call. And in verse 6, he complains. He says, Lord, I'm too young. I don't know what to speak. I don't know what to say. I'm only a boy. I mean, imagine facing such a responsibility at age 20. Jeremiah knew that he would face persecution and because of his prophecy. He knew that he felt inadequate and unprepared for his journey. And if you read more into the book of Jeremiah, you'll see that his doubts lasted throughout his ministry. In chapter 20, he tries to quit, but he couldn't bring himself to it. God's call upon Jeremiah's life was tried and true. And it was something that he could never get away from. No matter how many times he thought about it, it was like glue. And it was like, you know, and Jeremiah knew that God would give him the words to speak. In verse 10, God tells Jeremiah that he's been appointed over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and pull down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. You see, Jeremiah had been given this awesome opportunity by God at his calling. And sometimes he shrank at the awesomeness of the task before him. Well, being called by God is something that happens a lot through Scripture. And I think that this passage would have resonated with the audience, the original audience that Jeremiah was addressing. It may have brought to their minds the story of Moses, who was providentially saved by God as an infant. And just like God promised Jeremiah that he was consecrated before he was born, so it was with Moses. And who argued that he argued with God that he was not good with words, that Jeremiah argued that he too was not up to the task because he was too young. Both Jeremiah and Moses had a preview of the rough path ahead. They faced formidable foes. They faced rejection and persecution. And yet, no doubt Christians can identify with these biblical stories, especially the call to Jesus. Like Jeremiah, Jesus would be questioned and rejected by his people, and ultimately, they'd crucify him. The Bible is full of examples of people who were called by God. Some of them were young, like Jeremiah and Timothy and Jesus. Some of them were old, like Moses and Abraham and Sarah. Very few were perfect. In fact, many of them, apart from Jesus, let's see, Noah got drunk, Jonah ran away, Rahab was a prostitute, Saul was a murderer, Matthew was a tax collector, the list goes on and on. And it's clear from the whole of Scripture that God calls all kinds of folk. People that are young and old, people that are rich and poor, people that are righteous and unrighteous, God calls us all. And it seems to me that more often than not, folks had imperfections and God used them specifically. They were fitting for each person's call to ministry. Now, this does not give one an excuse to keep on sinning and go about one's merry way, but it is a relief to know that you don't have to be a saint to serve in the kingdom of God. Many pastors resonate with this scripture. I have not always wanted to be a pastor, but it has been the only career that I ever had. As a child, I thought about being a doctor or a conservation agent, and in college, I prepared 4 years for a career in agricultural business. But over the course of many years, I've been able to discover that God had a different path for me, and it was pastoral ministry. I think it's important for a church to hear how their pastor was called into ministry. And I may have explained this in another time, but I think it's good for me to share this, especially as we talk about Jeremiah and what experiences and opportunities led me to this assurance that I have today. As a child, many of you know, I attended Ebenezer United Methodist Church in between Gower and St. Joe on 169. Little country church, and you know, about every Sunday, we attended Sunday school and church, and every summer we'd attend Bible school. As I got older, I filled more roles in the church. I first lit candles like our expert Ellis, and then I was an usher about in middle school. In my senior year, I got to go to annual conference. And in high school, I got more curious about the faith. And I remember after church, I would come up and ask the pastor various questions. And the pastor listened to me and responded thoughtfully. And I'll always admire that. In college, Northwest, I was pursuing an agricultural business degree. And I wasn't quite sure if I was being called into pastoral ministry as a career. But I had some opportunities to preach. And I substituted at various local churches in Northwest Missouri. And it was there that I began to realize that I was hearing something wonderfully mysterious, the nudge of God into pastoral ministry. And I sometimes look back at my experiences as a child that didn't have any meaning then, and I think maybe how God was using me even way back then, drawing me into ministry. I think about how God must have been planning something throughout my life long before I began to sense it myself. And I think that that's how God often works in our lives. We look back and say, that could have been a moment, or that could have been a moment that God was beginning to draw me into ministry. For example, around I was age 6 or 7, I remember being at a church service and my grandma would help clean up communion. And we'd go downstairs. I probably had 20 communions after church, you know, like juices and drinks, and then afterwards grandma would finish up and we would go play in the sanctuary upstairs. I think we switched on the sound system, and we switched on the microphone, and I pretended to be the preacher saying God knows what, and my audience were my sisters and my cousins. But I think unbeknownst to me, God was working in my life before I even realized it, and I was really drawn to the pulpit early in my life. I haven't always been sure, and many of you know, a couple of times in my pastoral career, I left pastoral ministry to do something else. I worked on staff at a church in North Kansas City, and then recently before I was here, I was the funeral director at Church of the Resurrection. And both times when I left pastoral ministry, I thought it was for good. And yet while I was there, God used that moment and really to sort of rekindle my call into ministry. God always sent the right people at the right time for my life and to make me more sure of this call. And guys, I've said this a lot. I feel like I'm in the right place right now. I feel like if you were to look back to a scared 23-year-old at seminary, wondering how am I going to live a life to be faithful to what I felt was a call to ministry and also to be true to myself as a gay person. If you would have told me that one day when I would be 44, I'd be in a church in Northwest Missouri where I could be myself and I could and live out my call to ministry, I would have thought I was in heaven. So I'm where I need to be, and it has been a circuitous path for me. It's been lifelong, and sometimes I've been less sure, and sometimes like now I've been more sure. But that's how God works in your life, that God is speaking, and for that I'm very grateful. Have you ever thought about how God has a specific call on your life? And you see, many times Christians think that God only calls pastors or missionaries with little thought, that God uses all of us with our unique talents and abilities. And I believe that God is using each and every one of us uniquely to share his love and the kingdom of God on earth. I believe that all Christians are called to ministry, not just pastoral leaders. And I think sometimes, I've said this before, we think we're just an audience watching what's on stage. But the truth is, in my heart, is I think God is the audience to our worship. And we're all serving. We're all ministers. Some of us may be pastors or missionaries, but all of us are ministers in the eyes of God. And you look around our church and you think everyone has a unique role to play, whether it's music or technology or serving on boards and committees. Serving in our thrift store or our food pantry, working with our children. Everyone here has unique gifts that you are offering, and that's one way that God has spoken to you and that you are serving. You are living out a call to ministry. There is so much that's being done in the name of Christ around here at Broadway United Methodist Church, and there are so many ways that we can be called. You see, being called by God isn't always something big and grand. It's not always a call to leave everything and go across the world or to go and leave the life and be a pastor somewhere. But it can be, and it often is, a call from God is often something that is small or unnoticeable. A call from God isn't a destination. It's often not a place that you go. A call from God is a journey. You see, when someone is baptized, when each one of us are baptized into the faith, it's not a graduation. It's a new birth. It's a new life. It's the beginning of a journey of discipleship. It's a beginning of a life of discovery and listening and discovery of God speaking and working in your life. I believe that being called into ministry is this. It's seeking the love of Christ and listening for God to work in your life and sharing it, using your talents and gifts to share the kingdom of Christ. When this is our goal, when this is your goal, I believe that you are answering a call to ministry. So I believe that all of us are called of God. I believe that God is still speaking. I believe that God speaks to each one of us. And God is calling us to live our lives in whatever gifts and talents and abilities we have and to actively pursue it. And kind of sometimes or a lot of times I feel like Jeremiah and Moses, Lord, I can't speak, but still somehow God uses us to his glory. So when we seek and when we share the kingdom of God and when we make this our way of living, when we hear and respond to the work of God in our lives and in our world, that's a calling. So I just challenge you this week to think about the ways that God is speaking to you. No matter your age, no matter your imperfections, no matter your gifts, each one of us has a unique ability to serve God in our own specific situation, using our own talents. And you may feel like you're inadequate or not up to the task. But what I've found as a pastor and in ministry is when you feel like something needs to be done for Christ and it almost seems like impossible, like you don't have the resources to do it, that's ministry. Because if you think about all throughout the ages, when God calls you to do something, you cannot do it alone. It's a higher calling. And so I've often found, whether it be for my life as a disciple or for us as a church, our work, it may seem like there's not enough resources, like there's not enough money or people or talents out there. That's when the work of God happens, because that's when you're on your knees praying and searching and looking and asking God to lead. And as we know, many times God does. Well, like it was for me overnight at the hospital at CPE, never knowing when the phone would ring, never knowing what was going to go on next, may we seek earnestly for the voice of God. Amid a world of competing voices and distractions, God is still speaking. God is speaking to you and I. God is working in our lives and in our world and in our church, as we know. Just look around. Like Jeremiah, God knows us intimately. God has shaped us into who we are today. I say many times, I believe that God has put each one of us in a unique spot to serve him. God is still speaking. God beckons us to lean a little bit closer this week, to look just a little bit harder for God to work. And as disciples and as a church together, let us continue to share the love of Jesus. This week, I have just felt so blessed to be a part of this congregation with what we had with the children's ministries. And it just seems like whenever we're out and about in the town together, I'm proud of us as a United Methodist Church. We really have a witness of love. And I just truly know that God is speaking and God is continuing to lead us into the world to share his love. God takes us from fear to trust. God takes us from despair to hope. And God makes us into who and whose we are to become. So might we listen just a little bit more this week? Let's lean in just a little bit more to the voice of God, because God is speaking, God is calling, and God is working. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you that you are speaking and working and doing in our lives. Lord, we praise you for your Holy Spirit that is in our place, in our homes, and is always leading us. Lord, speak to us. Open our ears and open our eyes to your work in our lives, that we may carry the torch of your love into the world. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.